Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Modica and Tank. And today we're talking about Red Dawn, the 2012 remake, not the 1984 original. I didn't update what kind of movie this is. This is a war movie. I don't know. War drama, probably. Directed by Dan Bradley. It stars Chris Hemsworth, who plays Jed. Josh Peck plays Matt, and those two are brothers. And then their crew, Josh Hutcherson plays Robert, Adrienne Palicki plays Tony, Isabel Lucas plays Erica, Connor Cruz plays Daryl, Edwin Hodge plays Danny, and then Brett Cullen is Mr. Eckert. He's Chris and Josh, Jed and Matt's dad. The lead prefect, I think is how they refer to him, is William Lee. He plays Cho. And then Jeffrey Dean Morgan also makes an appearance in this movie playing Tanner. There are other actors, and they just don't matter from a character perspective. They could just be warm bodies. Unless there's somebody else you want to mention.
No, that was like more than I...
Yeah. So anyway, the summary of this movie is that after quarterback Matt's piss-poor performance in a season-ending playoff game loss, the family wakes up to find North Korean paratroopers scattering the city and planes getting shot down. They hop in the truck to escape to their cabin in the woods, where they gather supplies and form a militia. Everyone else in the strategic supply choke point of Spokane, Washington, lays down arms and is willing to live in an East Berlin-style society. And the world's largest military never comes to save the day because all 2 million active military lost radio contact or some stupid shit. This Wolverine resistance continues to dabble in warfare against the occupants throughout the movie, but they accomplish very little and only start to gain momentum at the very end.
Yeah.
And is that about it?
Yeah, that's close.
In a nutshell, that's
That's most of it. That's most of it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Where do you want to start off with this movie?
Well, I think the best place to start might be the beginning.
Oh, that's good.
Well, we see like random news reports, including something about North Korea and Russia, and then Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Biden make some like, you know, little appearances as like talking heads, which is just interesting. I mean, I guess Biden was the then vice president, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And Hillary Clinton was the secretary of state, so I guess that makes sense. It's just like,
so they at least modernized it, right? They didn't continue to tell, like, I don't know, whoever invaded in 1984 version, but...
It was the Russians.
Oh, okay.
It's funny that they, like, kind of went back. They're like, it's North Koreans, but they had to have help. And then they're like, and there's also Russians. You're like, why? Why are there also Russians? I mean, because originally this was the Chinese. And then they, like, you know, figured China would get mad at them. So they made it the North Koreans. But it still didn't come out in China.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think that explains some stuff later on in the movie. Okay. But we'll get there. Yeah. So it was 3 minutes of that shit. Like, I was like, when the fuck is this going to end? Like, give me some highlights, you know? These are headlines that people are reading. Just fucking, what do I need to know in 45 seconds?
I don't know why we had the beginning sequence at all.
I have no idea. It was just like...
Oh, what were you saying?
It was just like North Korea is rising to power? I don't know.
It's like, I don't think I need to know any of that. If, like, North Korea invaded, I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess they invaded. Like, not like, what was the geopolitical situation before this? I'd be like, oh, I guess they invaded. Always doing some wacky stuff. But like, this is a kind of a short movie, right? It's only like 90 minutes.
Yeah, tight 130.
And it's weird, like, the movie, like, the invasion is what, like, minute, like, 7?
Yeah.
It gets there, like, really quick. I feel like most of the times in movies, like, you'd see the world they're in, but it literally goes, like, football game, they go to the bar, they wake up the next morning, there's an invasion. Yep. It's, like, so fast.
Yeah. Dicking around.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Let's get right into it.
I don't know why. So they have Josh Peck at the football game, and he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's famous for playing Josh on Drake and Josh. and he was kind of like the schlubby little brother. I guess, I don't know if he was younger, but the schlubby brother.
All right.
In this one, he's like the cool guy, sort of. Although his brother is like even cooler, because he's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
And he's like an army guy, or a Marines guy, I guess. So he's like the quarterback, and it seems like the metaphor they're trying to set up is that he like keeps trying to do it all himself, or he keeps like sort of freelancing and going rogue, right?
You mean in the context of the football game?
In the football game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He keeps like, I don't know, they're doing a wildcat and he's just running. He's never handing it off or throwing.
Yeah, and they're like, he's like, if it wasn't, you know, if I handed it off, we'd be back at the 20. But then, like, the end of the game is the coach is so the coach says, like, there's like, you know, 15 seconds left. They wanted him to get out of bounds, but he doesn't. And then they say, send on the field goal unit. He says, no, let me do it. Then they say, no. He gets off, and then the guy misses the field goal. It's like, why would that be the end of it? Why have the field goal? Why not just have him getting tackled inbounds and time expires? Because he's trying too hard. Why have like the whole sequence with the field goal unit? Or why not have him refuse to come off and go for it and mess it up because no one else is prepared or something? Because he's trying to do it all himself.
I don't think that scene plays a role in the rest of the movie. Whether from a characterization perspective
No, it does though, because later on, he like when he's trying to save his girlfriend, he goes rogue and does it by himself, and someone else suffers. I guess that's the point, is like the kicker gets like screwed over because Josh Peck like screwed around. I think it would have made more sense if like he threw a pass to a wide receiver and they got like blown up because he was rushing it or trying to do it too fast or something. Or like his running back got destroyed by, I don't know, by like a lack of blocking or something. I don't know.
So we're supposed to say that him running and not getting out of bounds caused them to rush the kick and miss it?
Yeah, and then the kicker like suffers the consequence. I think that's the thing, is they wanted another person to suffer consequences for that action. Although
yeah, I didn't get that. That didn't register with me.
What did you get out of it?
Because he even says to the kicker after it, he's like, yeah, oh, that was on me. That was my bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, no,
I think
why?
This is a bad scene. I think just that's what I think they were trying to do, I think.
Wow, that's generous. Okay. But okay.
Yeah, so then it looks like 70,000 North Koreans paratroop into Spokane. And like there's so many of them. And Spokane isn't that big, right?
Population 230,000.
So, like, how many North Koreans are there?
I don't know the answer to that question. But it's not so many that you can afford 70,000 for Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, apparently there's 26 million.
Okay. And I think we can presume, you know, maybe they have 2 million total.
Like soldiers?
Able-bodied soldiers, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they have almost like a 1-to-1 ratio in Spokane at this point. Like, there are so many of them.
Yeah, I don't know why they chose Spokane. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't think Spokane's like a strategic... I guess it's like near the... They also have tank... Like, I don't know the timeline of this movie either. They have like... So actually, that's not the next thing that happens. The next thing that happens is they go to the bar and you meet Chris Hemsworth. And the dad is like a police officer, like the chief of police or something. Or I think he's a sergeant, maybe.
Sergeant, yep.
But, and then Adrian Patak Palicki,
Palicki?
Who is playing Tony, who is not Isabel's sister. I thought they were sisters too, but they're not. She's just some girl. And she comes over to Chris Hemsworth, right? And she goes, oh, hey, it's me, Tony. And he goes, Tony, I remember you. And then she goes, our families used to go camping together. And you're like, oh, yeah. And then she's like, and you used to babysit. Because you were the oldest. You're the oldest one. And you had to take care of everybody. And you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then she's like, and your mom, she used to do that stuff. But then she died. And you're like, this is, like, you could not write. Did they just not write dialogue? Did they just write, like, why is the lady just giving exposition? Again, the exposition doesn't even matter. But it's like. She just decided to tell us everything without even, like, weaving it into a conversation.
That's actually the first thing I wrote down was, holy shit, this dialogue is horrible. From Chris Hemsworth, like, talking to his dad about the football game, to the bar scene, it was awful.
I was just like, it was just so on the nose. She was like telling him about himself. It was like, yeah, no, he knows that. He was there. And then she just wants to bang him the whole movie. That's sort of like a thing.
Yeah, but never gets to.
Yeah, I don't think they
do. You
know,
war. Right? You know, it's tough.
I mean,
tough being a fugitive.
They might have got to. Because, like, how long does this movie take place over?
Oh, I think a couple months.
Yeah, it's a long time, right?
It feels like it would be a couple months, yeah. It doesn't feel like a week.
No,
and it doesn't feel like years, but it's...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think a couple months. At some point, I think we hear, like, a passage of time, but I forget how long it's been. But it's not, like, a couple days. You know, it's not, like, sort of a real-time, like, type of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then the military guys come, and they drive away, and the two boys and a few friends flee to a... But not the girlfriend. Flee to a cabin, right?
Yes. But, like, how flawed is the military strategy of just scattering paratroopers everywhere? You know? Wouldn't you want to centralize them? Didn't anybody learn a lesson from World War II?
Yeah, it's like... Also, a lot of Americans have guns. Like, I don't think you want just guys dropping down and, like, just randomly getting shot. You probably want to, like... why wouldn't they drop somewhere and sort of mass and then, like, move out like an army together?
Especially if you can have Hummers and tanks. Just, like, drop 2 miles outside of the city in a nice rural field, you know?
Because they have military vehicles, it seems like, during this invasion.
Instantaneously. They were dropped out of the plane alongside the guys.
Yeah. Because they're, like, in the little Humvees. So, yeah, it seems like they could have just, like, gotten those and, like, did a... But they just decided to, like, tons of them just drop down. And no one seems to shoot. Until it's like, yeah, the one parachute trooper just opens fire as he's falling? Just for no reason?
I guess, yeah.
Because it's not like they drop down and start shooting all the civilians.
Correct, yeah. Their goal is not to kill everyone upon landing. Yeah, but this one
this
car,
guy.
Yeah. I guess he spotted from as he's coming in. He was like, nah, that guy needs to die. They're clearly trying to get away. But yeah, no, so they run that guy over, right? They hit him with a car?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's presumably dead. And then, like, as they're still driving toward the cabin, there's a few more that have congregated in the middle of the street. But for some reason, they don't run them over. It's just like, if you're willing to run over the first guy that's opening fire on you as he's falling in, clearly you should run over any fucking militant that's on the street, you know? Like, that's going to be beneficial. Given the rest of the movie, I don't know why you don't make that choice.
Yeah, it's weird, because this is like a pretty brutal movie at times.
For sure.
But at other times, they like, don't want to kill people.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So then they get to their like little cabin.
Well, before they get to the cabin, they're driving away in the truck, right?
Yeah.
They just pile in the back. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's like this weird sort of convergence where they're on one street and they're about to get hit by a Humvee on the perpendicular street. And I think one of their friends flies out of the back of the truck and like goes through the windshield of the Humvee that's trying to chase them down. And then they get to the cabin and he gets out and he looks in the back at his, you know, remaining buddies that are there. And he's like, hey, is anyone hurt? And the one dude's like, I don't know. I don't think so. And it's just like, dude, your friend flew out of the back of the truck and into the Hummer. It's like, did you not care about him? What the fuck? He's just like, I don't think anyone's hurt. Like, well, that guy's probably fucked.
So then they get to the cabin and they're like looking for supplies and stuff. And then there's like some random like just like douchey guy who's also with them. I don't know how he got with. I think his name is Pete.
Yeah, Pete. Dickbag Pete.
Is that what his name is? Dickbag Pete?
I think so, yeah.
So he's just like being a jackass for some reason because he doesn't want to listen to Chris Hemsworth. Even though, why did he come with them?
I don't know. It's Chris Hemsworth's cabin. It's like their family's cabin.
Yeah.
Maybe I think it's just he was a neighbor.
And he just decided to, like, come and be a douchebag?
Yeah, I think so.
But then, basically, he steals all their food. Right? Overnight. Because he's medic. Oh, because Chris Hemsworth buddy like rolls up, right? And the guy like just starts popping off.
Well, he only fires one shot at the car.
Yeah. And then Chris Hemsworth like yells at him, and then he sort of like gets mad. And then he steals all their shit throughout the night. I don't know why Chris Hemsworth, I sort of assume they'd have like a night watch. So it's weird that they let this guy pack up all their food and leave without noticing.
Yeah, I missed that part. I don't know, the audio was kind of cutting out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't know why he fires one shot. Like, if you're willing to open fire, and I had this fucking issue with Baby Driver. Like, as soon as you decide to start shooting, why stop at one, you know?
Yeah, because, like, you're already in trouble. When, like, they're going to shoot back if they're an enemy. If you thought it was a good idea to shoot in the first place, like, the second shot makes just as much sense.
Yeah.
So, like, what are we doing here?
It's a one-way street, but he only fires one warning shot. Yeah. So, fuck Dickbag Pete.
And that turns out to be their friend, who is, I don't remember his name.
Danny.
Okay, Danny is that guy, and then Daryl is the mayor's son.
Yep.
Okay. And then the, like, Latino, I think brother and sister, they haven't shown up yet, right?
Inconsequential. I mean, I don't even have their characters' names.
I think it's Greg and Julie.
Okay.
I wrote down mute Latinos with them.
They're just people that die.
They That's sort like... of, well, only one of them dies, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Although, it's still, yeah, okay, we'll get to that eventually. So then, yeah, they're just watching, like, so the guy leaves, and then they're just watching, like, the propaganda network on TV for some reason.
Well, yeah, whenever they get to the cabin, they, like, divide and conquer, and Josh Hutcherson's character is, like, the AV podcaster, so he's like, okay, well, you go, Chris Hemsworth's, like, assigning duties, he's like, you go find some, like, radio equipment and anything we can get a signal, and then other people will be on food, and I'll be on guns, and, you know, we'll divide and conquer, and then meet back up and see what we got. And then, I don't know, they finally, like, hold these bunny ears in the right position to get a signal, to find out for the first time what's happening, and they get this news anchor who's, like, explaining what is going on, and after about 8 seconds of listening to it, Chris Hemsworth just comes in and he's like, nah, fuck that, that's garbage, you don't want to listen to that. And it's just like, I think there was a missing scene, because it's as if they were infatuated with the propaganda for days on end and had done nothing about it. But this is literally their stated mission upon arriving at the cabin. And then as soon as they find a morsel of success, they just abandon it. He's like, nah, fuck that. We don't want to listen to that. It's like, no, you do. You want to at least listen to like 5 or 10 minutes of it and just get the lowdown on what they at least think is happening.
Yeah. I mean, he just, like, he's a little heated already.
Yeah.
Which I guess. What did I have? Josh Hutcherson, when he's at the football game, like, is bothering the coach with, like, a recorder and just says, I'm making a podcast for the school website. So, like, that was Josh Hutcherson's thing, I guess. Is, yeah, that's why he was although, like, none of it matters later. Like, they sort of like have vague roles, and then it like only kind of matters.
Yeah, they're not persistent roles, they're all just militia by the second day.
Yeah, so then this is when Pete rats them out, right?
Yeah, because they're out and about, like, gathering supplies, I think, training. Yeah. I don't know. And they come back to the cabin and find that Pete ratted them out. And the house is being searched and tossed. But they smartly, like, loaded up the truck with all their supplies and hid it in a mine in the woods. So, like, they're now pissed at this Pete guy.
Yeah, because he sucks.
He does suck. He
betrayed them immediately.
Yep.
So then the mayor, who is Daryl's father, and the police, or the whatever, the boy's father. So it's Jed and what's the kid's name? Jed and Matt. Jed and Matt are the two boys. So their fathers are like brought here, and Daryl's father is like the mayor. Is like, come on, boys. They're nice guys. Like, they won't do anything bad.
Yeah, you'll be totally fine.
Okay. So then, what's his name? So then he's like, okay, that's not working. I get a thing. Then the chief of police comes, or whoever, the sergeant comes and says, boys, I love you very much. Also, I want you to fight or die trying here. It's like...
go to war with these pieces of shit.
Yeah. And then they just execute him. But it's like, one of his sons is a soldier. So like, fair enough. The other one is a high schooler. And you're like, boys, I want you to die fighting this military. It's like, this is an insane piece of advice to give to your high school son in a situation when, like, they're just in the woods running from an actual military. It's like, they're going to die trying. Like, this is really, that's going to happen. Especially your hot-headed son. It's not like he needed to convince Josh Peck's guy to fight. The kid was always very hot-headed. So then he gets executed, right?
Yeah, the whole scene didn't make sense to me because, like, if the mayor comes out and says, you'll be totally fine, but they're currently being escorted and controlled by these guys, like, where's the threat, right? Because if they're going to be, if they're willing to shoot this guy, then there clearly is a threat and they won't be fine, right? So that's, like, the presumed threat. But then, so they know that, like, he's going to die or they're at risk of being executed there on the spot. Especially whenever he's like, you know, saying, kill these motherfuckers and go to war with them. And Josh Peck has binoculars and, Chris Hemsworth has a hunting rifle with a scope on it. And he's like observing this, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, they just let this prefect guy execute their father instead of taking the clear shot. I didn't get that one. And yeah. Then who's to say that they were within earshot? Like, how much of a big waste of fucking time would this be? Why did they think they were just out there in the woods, able to see and hear everything that was going on?
Yeah, well, they didn't have a megaphone, right?
Yeah, what's the range on those?
Yeah, but it would be funny if they were just, like, somewhere else, and they just come back. I guess they'd see their dead father. I guess that wouldn't be that funny. But if like, this all happened with no one hearing it. You know, they were just like down by the river, like swimming around or looking for berries, and they come back and just see their father dead, a bunch of tire tracks. Oh, and the cabin burned down, and they're like, huh, well, wonder what that was all about. This sucks. Like, yeah, there's no confirmation. Like, they didn't make contact with them at all.
Well, so they're willing to assassinate this guy just like on a whim, hoping that there's onlookers, but they're like unwilling to walk 200 yards around the perimeter to see if there's any people there.
Why didn't they just search?
I don't know why they didn't take a little walk. Just, you know, take a little stroll. 30 seconds later, you could have found them.
Right at the tree line. It's also weird that the father was willing to give this speech again to maybe nobody.
Yes.
That was even weirder. He was like willing to give his dying words without confirmation that his sons had ever heard him.
Yeah.
Okay. So we think that's this scene, right?
Yeah. Okay. Fuck that scene.
Can I go on a tangent?
Yeah.
Okay. So the bad guy in this, okay, is played by, what was his name?
I wrote it down. Yun Lee.
Will Yun Lee. So I knew this guy. I recognized him because he plays a character in a show called Hawaii Five-0. Okay? Now, bear with me. His character in Hawaii Five-0 is in the first episode. And he's an antagonist. He's a sex trafficker, okay?
All right.
And they try to infiltrate his organization. And he makes one of their agents, who is one of the agent's cousin who got recruited for this, strip down in, you know, to her underwear to check for a wire. Then he says he knew she was a cop and just wanted her to strip anyways. Tries to kill them, right? Then they arrest him, okay? And they smack him in the head with a, like a big, what do you call it? Like ashtray.
Okay.
Now, so then he goes to jail. Later, we find out that he escapes jail. Then they catch him again. Then he cooperates with them. By the end of the show, this sex trafficker is actually their buddy. And they, like, hang out with him and eat lunch, and they're all cool. Even though he, like, sexually assaulted one of the cops and is, again, a sex trafficker. not like a drug dealer or like a thief, like one of those like criminals. You can be like, oh, they're like a fine guy. He's a sex trafficker. Like, there's no like decent guy sex traffickers.
Yeah, as soon as you deal in humans, that's the tipping point.
Yeah, but he's like the comedic relief in the later seasons. He'll come and they're like, oh, I think it's a Sing Mang, maybe. Like, you're so wacky, you and all your antics, one of which, of course, was sex trafficking, and then you tried to assault my cousin the first time you met us. But then he's testifying in one episode, and he's testifying against some criminals, and the defense questions his credibility, not on the basis that he's a sex trafficker, on the basis that he had brain damage from when they smacked him in the head with the ashtray. Okay?
Okay. So
he, because he gets, like, blackouts and he can't remember things, because in the first episode of the show, the guy took him to, like, you know, they're black, because in Hawaii Five-0 they have immunity and means, so they don't have to follow any due process. So when they interrogate people, they just take them to the basement with, like, a room with a drain in the floor and just beat the shit out of them.
Okay.
So, yeah. So he had this, like, extrajudicial interrogation. So that's, like, Sing Mei, okay? That's his whole story in Hawaii Five-0.
Okay.
Sex trafficker turned comedic relief buddy of the group. So the first episode of Hawaii Five-0, okay? There is, the main guy's name is Steve. And his father is captured by terrorists. Now, the boss, or like the governor of the island, is a bald black guy. The mayor in this is also a bald black guy, right?
Okay.
The episode of Hawaii Five-0, one of the guys, so they have captured one terrorist brother, and the other terrorist has captured Steve's father. Steve's father asks to be put on the phone and says, I love you, son. Don't give these guys anything they want. And the terrorist shoots them in the head. So, I don't know when these things came out. But, like, there's a lot of weird parallels between this and the first episode of Hawaii Five-0, where a guy just is on the phone, like, his father's, you know, words are, like, defiance, and then he gets shot in the head by the antagonist. And also, this William Lee... What was his name? William Lee?
William Lee.
William Lee is also in both of these, although playing very different characters, because he doesn't do any sex trafficking in this, as far as we know.
Interesting. So that first, that pilot script made its way over to whoever wrote this remake?
I think it might have. Although, again, I don't know which one came out first. They might have just, maybe like this guy got to set and was like, I have an idea for like what we could do with the pilot. You know? So anyways, back in this movie, they're just like hanging out at the cabin, right? Dad gets executed. I think, and this is when I wrote that the Latinos don't get to talk. Although I think they get their first line here. I don't know what it is, but I think they get to speak once. I think it's a brother and sister. I didn't know that. I looked it up. It's a guy and a girl. And we find out that Josh Hutcherson wants to go home, but then Tony just says, oh no, your parents are dead. I didn't want to tell you.
Well, but Josh Hutcherson and Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl wants to go home because his father's there.
His father's the mayor. Who was not executed.
No, because he's sort of like collaborator. He's a collaborator.
Yep.
Yeah,
so we learn Robert's parents are dead because Tony didn't know how to tell him.
Yeah. And Tony is like quite the... This actress is like in other stuff and I think does fine. But this character is just so goddamn weird in this, where she just, like, exists. There's no real point. She's, like, a love interest for Chris Hemsworth, although they don't really, like, get together or do any love interest stuff.
No, but it's also weird because their families knew each other, and then she admits later that she cut her hair like she thought Chris Hemsworth... How old is this girl? Is she 18?
Yeah, she's an adult.
She can drink? Because that was confusing. In the bar, like, why were there high schoolers in the bar? I couldn't tell the ages of anyone.
Yeah, I mean, the high school is a younger. I thought she was the girl's older sister, but she's just some other girl. I think she's Chris Hemsworth age, and he was overseas in Iraq.
Well, why is she such good friends with Matt Eckert's girlfriend, Erica?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought they were sisters, because I was like, does she just know this? I guess she just knows this younger girl. Yeah. Yep. So, who knows?
Well, I mean, yeah, so her character, like, she admits later that she just had a thing for Chris Hemsworth for, I don't know, a decade? Since middle school? Since early middle school?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's just actively trying to get in his pants the whole movie and fails. Achieves it.
But you'd think she'd be able to pull that off. So then they're like, we can't go home. We can't run. What do we do? Chris Hemsworth's like, we have to fight. And you're like, okay. And then there's, like, I'd say, like, the second twist of the movie, where it turns out that Chris Hemsworth's character is Australian, because his accent just goes away for a little while. Or I guess his accent comes back, and it just turns out he was Australian for a few scenes. But then they do a training montage. And, like, this is the part that I thought was weird, because, like, they're doing a training montage, and then we see them, like, go into town, and it turns out you can kind of just, like, come and go from town. Like, there's checkpoints, but, like, they just walk into town a bunch of times.
Yeah, they do.
And they're just,
and they,
like,
leave town with supplies.
Yeah, they just go get stuff.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be, like, holed up in the woods, but they're just, like, hanging out in the woods, but then they're like, oh, we got to go back and get some, because they're like, why? They're like, oh, Pete took all the food. It's like, oh, we just have to shoot down to the grocery store real quick. It's like half an hour, you know?
Well, so before we get to that, circle back to Robert wanting to leave and then learning his parents are dead and then deciding to stay. Like, he and Daryl were walking away. And then as soon as Robert's parents are dead, why did that change Daryl's opinion? Like, why didn't Daryl just keep on walking?
He knows his dad's alive. We just saw that.
Yeah. Daryl has an active interest to get back to society, because if his father is a collaborator, then, like, he better get back so that, you know, he's got it made, you know?
Yeah, they'll be safe.
But I guess his friendship with Robert is more important than his dad? I don't buy it. So, yeah, I mean, then they become bushcraft warriors in 2 days. I mean, they're just unreal. They plan to be the Viet Cong or Mujahideen.
Yeah, that's what they say. Oh, okay. Do you have the quote that Chris Hemsworth gives?
Even the tiniest flea can drive a big dog crazy?
No, the other one, where he talks sort of about Iraq.
Oh, no.
He goes, when I was in Iraq, I think he says when I was overseas, we were the good guys, we enforced order. Now we're the bad guys, we create chaos. So, like, what are the politics of this movie? Like, it doesn't think this invasion is good, obviously. Does it think the Iraq war was good? Or, like, I thought this was all, like, show, like, because when the North Koreans are doing their propaganda later, they're like, no, your system of government is bad, and Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, 99%, we agree with you. You know, and we come to free you, and we're going to give you back your electricity as soon as we catch these, like, dastardly terrorists. And it's like, okay. So, like, that sounds like, you know, their version of what American propaganda in Iraq would be. But then, like, Chris Hemsworth is definitely, like, the hero of this movie. And it was a soldier in Iraq and says we were the good guys in Iraq, but now they're the bad. So, like, what is supposed to be the case, I guess?
Yeah, I guess it's just drawing parallels between who has control of the city and who doesn't.
Yeah, no, I get that, bud. But, like,
I don't think he meant to convey any, like, morality about good guys or bad guys, right. Just sort of, like, circumstantially.
The terms good guys and bad guys actually does seem to convey a lot about morality.
Yeah.
If he just choice, like,
look, we said the dialogue was shit, so it's just,
I know,
more
but
of the same.
Like, this isn't, like, confused. I don't know. Okay, sure. Whatever. So, yeah, then they have, like, Uzis for some reason.
I don't know where they got them.
Why would you have Uzis anyway? Like, they're just not that effective of weapons.
The Uzi, yeah, and they're, like, joking about it. They're like, oh, they're so inaccurate, and he has to, like, be beside the tree in order to hit the tree. And, but, like, who had the Uzi at the cabin? Why did people own, who owns an Uzi?
Were they, like, deer hunting with Uzis?
I don't know. It didn't make any sense. But all we got from that was that Uzis are inaccurate, and they have to lure them in close.
Yes. So then they go to town and stage an ambush.
Well, it's not an ambush. I think it's, can you ambush a lure? I don't know. So they lure them away from the checkpoint an alley.
Yeah, and then what do they do when they lure them in there?
They pop out from under some boxes.
They pop out.
Shoot.
Okay. They pop out. So any particular, like, what would you call that tactic?
I'd say it's a lure.
It's a, they lure them in.
They lured
to,
them
to
into
a
gunfight.
To a gun, to an ambush. To a so they ambush these people who, like, start chasing the girl. It's just because she, like, walks up to the checkpoint, then turns around, and they're like, "We gotta get her." And there they chase her, and they're like hidden underground, sort of in these like holes that are covered with trash.
Yeah, they dug holes and covered themselves in boxes.
I don't know why they didn't just, like, it was sort of like an abandoned lot. I'm surprised there wasn't just, like, things standing up. They could, it doesn't matter. So they kill all these North Koreans. They take their guns.
Yeah, well, they pursued her because it was like, you know, somebody in a DUI checkpoint that leaves the checkpoint and goes the other way. And it's like, nah, clearly that guy's drunk, right?
Yeah.
So they just chase her down and then die.
Yeah, well, they all die, like, violently. This is, like, a violent, they just got murdered.
Yeah, and they steal all their guns, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, get all the weapons and ammo. Robert, poor Robert Josh Hutcherson, is over there vomiting because he can't stomach it. But they keep the Uzis, and then they just, like, leave town and retreat to the hills, and nobody chases them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they keep doing this, basically, right?
I guess, yeah. How many more do we see?
We see at least one. They go, like, deer hunting with Josh Hutcherson and makes him, like, drink the blood.
It was so weird.
Just to, like, haze him for some reason.
I thought it was going to be an initiation thing. Like, you know, oh, we prank everyone like that, everyone who kills a deer. And it's like, nah, we haven't done that shit. So then it just becomes they're hazing the most traumatized guy. And they're just making him shoot the deer, making him drink the blood. And it's just like, maybe he's up on this dude. Yeah.
So then they go back in. They have, like, another raid, right? And they blow up Pete.
Well, yeah. So they go to, like, a mechanic shop or something. It's a garage. And they find, I don't know, a never-ending supply of C4.
Right.
So they decide to blow a building up.
Do mechanics have a lot of C4, usually?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think, like, when you're greasing axles, you reach for the C4.
You get a nut that won't come out, you just gotta use something bigger? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why Spokane's such a city that needs to be taken, you know?
So all the mechanics, so many ammo storages, yeah. Every mechanic shop is just an entire arsenal.
Yeah, well,
it
I guess
like any hunting cabin is an arsenal in Spokane, so who knows?
Yeah, but only this one, you know? Like, nobody else in the city had a gun. Everyone, for some reason, was unarmed and didn't fight back at all. It's like you could have just easily shot each paratrooper as they were landing, you know? But such is life. So yeah, they decide to blow this building up, and sure enough, Dickbag Pete makes another appearance.
And he dies.
Yeah.
He gets blown up.
Yep. Building gets blown up. So he's done.
So at this point, let me just back up a little bit, because I remember seeing this movie a long time ago, and my recollection was that Josh Hutcherson betrayed them. And I think it was just because this guy is also like a blonde guy, and I just couldn't tell them apart.
He does look almost the same.
So I kept thinking, I was like, okay, like, they're hazing the shit out of Josh Hutcherson. Like, he doesn't like this whole living on the lam thing. His parents are dead. Like, when is he going to betray them? And then I was like, oh, Pete betrayed them. I was like, it sucks they're going to get betrayed twice. Like, the whole time, like, up to, like, close to the end, I was like, when the fuck is this guy going to, like, turncoat? This little traitor. Like, I'm waiting for, like, I was angry at Josh Hutcherson's guy the whole time, because I was like, he's going to betray them eventually. Like, but it turns out it was just Pete, who was just another little blonde white guy. Yeah, and they blow the shit out of Pete. Like, they just blow up everything. I mean, they're really, I don't know, killing a lot of stuff.
Well, they go from the Uzi plan, and then once they finally get, like, decent weapons, they completely abandon weapons in favor of a real C4 first sort of war plan. And they just start just blowing everything up.
Yeah, and so now they're trying to blow up. So it's interesting, because some people, like his girlfriend, whose name is Erica, maybe?
Yeah.
is like in a prison camp. But other people are just like going about their day.
Yeah. So whenever they run away from the blowing the building up,
yeah,
they find themselves in a subway.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one. Yeah.
He stands up on the counter and he's like, sandwich artist, fill this shit with bread. And then Daryl, fucking poor Daryl, grabs a bucket and starts filling it with soda. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I love that. It was weird because they go into the sandwich shop and they're like hiding next to the door, like as if it was an abandoned thing. And then like 30 seconds later, they turn around and just see a bunch of like people just doing subway stuff, like hanging out in the subway. And then he decides to be like, this is a robbery. Give me all your bread, but not the flatbread, he says. It's just like, okay. Yeah, and he says, the delivery of sandwich artists fill up this, like, was so bad, too. It was just like, it was just as if they were, like, improving this, although obviously they were. Yeah, it was pretty nuts. And then they just, like, love the fact that they say sandwich artist, I imagine was supposed to be funny, but it wasn't delivered funny. But then they go back to their little cabin, and they just, like, oh my god, these Subway sandwiches are so great. You know?
This is just Subway product placement.
Yeah. And this brings me back to Hawaii Five-O, which is infamous for their Subway product placement, where they just like go up to a witness sometimes, and he's just, they're like, what are you doing? And he's just like this giant dude. And he's just like, I'm enjoying these nice low-calorie $5 footlongs available in Subway stores everywhere. They, like, look that up. It's the like, most ridiculous product placement. I'm just a guy, like, sitting at a table with a bunch of Subway sandwiches being like, you could have the beef and cheddar, or you could have the pepperoni and salad. Like, it was just, like, the craziest. Okay, so that's Subway in Hawaii Five-O. Then they're like, okay, they're going to do a propaganda rally, so we're going to blow it up, right?
Yeah.
And they go to do this, and they find out a few things. First of all, the Russians are here, and they are Spetsnaz, who are counterinsurgency experts.
Yep.
Right? Then they realize that Daryl's father is on the stage. And Chris Hemsworth's like, Daryl, are you okay with blowing up your father? And he's like, we gotta do what we gotta do. Like, he is on the stage there. Yeah. Everyone had to make a choice, and he made his at gunpoint. So let's blow him up. And then what happens? Oh, do they get found out?
No, I think part of the plan is to blow up a car down the street.
Yeah.
And Josh, or no, it's, Josh Peck.
Yeah.
His plan is to blow up the car as a distraction, and then they can blow up the main stage.
Yeah.
But he sees Erica being driven around in a school bus.
Right.
And he decides to pull the, trigger on the car bomb 30 seconds early, which sort of disrupts the plan. But it was all for naught because Chris Hemsworth is, like, looking at Captain Cho on the stage, who shows that the bomb they planted was disarmed by him. He shows them their little shitty makeshift timer.
He has the timer, yeah.
Yep. So it was a flawed plan from the get.
And then they get like raided, so they're on the run, like Chris Hemsworth and Daryl.
Yeah.
So then we have Josh Peck trying to rescue Erica on the school bus.
Yeah, he gets onto the school bus and he just abandons the blow shit up plan.
Yeah. And this is when he tries to rescue her. And during this, and it's like crazy because they're just like sort of running through the street, like spraying bullets. No one ever shoots at them, it seems like. But they're just running around with Uzis the entire time, like down like busy streets where people are like walking. And then he gets on the bus after shooting the North Korean school bus driver. Who I think was I think at this point it's a prison bus. And he goes to rescue her, but Greg, who is the mute Latino member of the Wolverines, gets shot in the process trying to, like, because Josh Peck is sort of in danger, and Greg tries to like run and help him and gets gunned down. So that's like sort of sad. Just, you know, and it's like Josh Peck like is shown to be sort of like a cowboy and selfish. But he like literally gets one of their members killed which is like a pretty huge consequence that it feels like he doesn't really pay for later on. I don't know. It seems like they kind of let him off the hook for getting Greg killed. So they get out and they go back to their thing, like their little, I think they're hiding in like a cave at this point. And Josh Peck like comes back with his girlfriend and is like all stoked. And then they're like, he's like, oh, I got Erica back. And they're like, well, Greg died. And he's just like, oh, no, is that my bad? And then he like runs, you know, he like gets upset and like runs away. And like, I don't know. They just like don't, like Chris Hemsworth's mad at him. The guy's sister doesn't even seem that mad. She's just kind of like chill about it.
I think she's frantic as she's trying to repair the gunshot wound.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess later is when maybe she's like a little bit too chill about it.
Yeah.
And they, when they escape, him and Erica, they go to like what I think is like a clothing store, and the woman like gives them stuff and like aids and embeds them.
Yeah.
So
aids and embeds. They could just, they can, a wardrobe change later, and they can just walk out the front door. And it begs the question, like, can these occupants not tell white people okay. apart?
You're trying to, you like, keep saying occupant. You mean occupiers.
Occupiers? Occupants?
Yeah, occupiers.
Occupiers. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they just like a change of clothes later. That's great. And
yeah, they just completely like different people. Yeah. They're not even like, oh, like they literally walk right by like three of them and it's like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, okay, we're looking for two white guys. I don't even know. It doesn't matter.
There's literally no one else on the streets. Yeah. How is there not a stop and this girl has policy like, for anyone?
Hair. Yeah, like why not just arrest everybody? Like, what are we doing? What are the criteria? Why was this girl in prison camp in the first place?
I don't know. We like, never got that explanation.
For getting arrested. So then they like, you know, they're like, oh, they have a list of your collaborators. They're going to kill them. So then they're like, well, we can't save everybody. And they're like, well, what about this lady? So they like go back. And I think, is it Cho who's about to assassinate her? And they start, maybe it's someone else, but they just start.
It's not Cho. Yeah.
Oh, because then they just kill the guy. And
yeah, because they're just about to assassinate this girl in the middle of the street as a bunch of people are on looking. And it's like, you're guilty of giving aid to the terrorist Wolverines.
Because they find like the prison jumpsuit the girl left behind.
Yeah, and if there's any way that could like motivate more people to rebel against you, it's assassinate somebody in the street for helping.
Yeah, like assassinate the little old lady in the street.
Yeah. It's just like, this is not a good strategy for you.
No. Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know. So then they, you know, I think this is like what's turning the civilians is when they sort of see the people, you know.
But I mean, so the occupiers at this point, they just want all the Wolverines like to stop killing them, right? They want to kill the Wolverines.
That'd be nice, yeah.
But if they have a list of all their contacts, then why wouldn't they just stake them out and cut off the supply lines? And the next time they come to get some Subway sandwiches, they'll just be like, oh, okay, now we'll kill you.
Yeah, like, how many people are, like, leaving town in a Jeep, you know, every once in a while? They're going to be like, oh, there's, like, are people allowed to leave the prison? Because they just there's a guy driving away. They just came and went to the grocery store then drove away again. Should we follow them? It's like, nah, they're good. Those are fine. And then, so what happens after this? This is where I get a little mixed up. Matt, like, leaves a little bit, right? And then
he comes
back. And he, like, looks, he, like, it's funny. He comes back and everyone's like, oh, my God, Matt, you've been gone for a couple days. So days have passed at this point. And they're, like, dabbing him up and stuff. And then he just looks at Julie. And she still doesn't get to talk. She's, like, gives him a little peace sign.
It's a peace sign, yeah. And it doesn't make any sense because, like, I think it's meant to convey that's their, like, Wolverine signal. And it's like, you're just a ring finger away from an Air American Sign Language.
Okay, I thought she was just like, we're okay. We're cool, but, like, my contract doesn't allow me to have lines. So I'm conveying that with these.
No,
But like, she just holds up two fingers. I think that's their thing. But like, you could have made a W if you just held up another finger. You could have been the Wolverines, and that could have been your signal.
She's like, I'm sorry. You know, he's like, I'm sorry I got your brother killed because I was trying to arrest my girlfriend because I'm like, you know, horny for her, and it's been like a month and a half. And she's just like, yep, that's good. That makes sense.
Enough said.
We couldn't leave her behind, even though we had a, you know, we have Greg's body now. So that's here nor there.
To be fair, though, I blame Greg for that one, because from Greg's perspective, he didn't know why Josh Peck was in a school bus. Maybe he just thought he was, like, hijacking the school bus full of prisoners. I don't know. It didn't make any sense.
I think he got killed before Josh Peck was in the school bus, I thought.
No, I think he was. I think he made it into the school bus.
Oh, did he?
And he killed the two people.
Yeah, the two militants. Right.
Yeah. And then he was just on the school bus sticking around. I don't know. Apparently recruiting. Who knows? But Greg.
No, he was trying to help. He was trying to get the shackles off the girl.
Yeah, I'm just saying, from Greg's perspective, he doesn't know that Erica was on the bus. So it's just right. Like, why are you going to help Josh Peck? Clearly, he's going to do other things.
Oh, I thought he saw like other people moving towards the bus, and he was trying to like prevent them from hurting. I don't know. He was trying to help. He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah. Nothing against Greg. It's just kind of, you know.
We didn't, you know, he died too. We never really got to know what his deal was.
Never heard him speak.
Yeah. Had zero line. Like, this is supposed to be the most someone's in a movie without being allowed to speak, right? Like, I think he did literally get lines, but like, not really though. Like, the newscaster had more lines than him, and he got turned off 3 seconds in.
So these are the only two actors that I listed up top. I mean, I didn't say them because they're non-characters just because they don't talk, but like, they deserve to be in the list, you know?
Yeah.
They were on screen so much and said fucking nothing.
Yeah, they were the mute Latinos. Yeah. It would have made so much more sense if they're like, these are my friends, they are mute. They can't speak, or they speak no English. That would have been fine.
Yeah, right?
You know, do whatever. But like, why just have them there and just never, like, it's crazy that the girl doesn't even say like forgive him. She literally just gives him a hand signal. Like, what is happening?
Well, so shortly before this, we see the Korean military leaders. They're bringing in the big guns, right? It's like the general is coming to reprimand the lieutenant that can't get his shit together, that is failing to take over Spokane,
right,
and like losing to the Wolverines,
right?
Their mouth doesn't line up with like the sounds that I was hearing. It's almost like they dubbed the Asian guy's conversation further into a different Asian language. And I think this feeds into what you said earlier, which is that they were initially supposed to be Chinese.
Oh, they dubbed it into Korean?
I think they dubbed it into Korean.
I didn't notice that. That's funny.
Yeah, watch that scene again. That makes sense now.
That's really funny.
After the peace sign, the hideout is about to get carpet bombed.
The hideout? Which hideout's that?
They're in the mine. The woods are getting carpet bombed.
So the woods aren't getting carpet bombed yet, right? Because they haven't found the other Marines yet.
Correct.
The thing gets carpet bombed after they find the Marines, doesn't it?
No.
No?
It's they get carpet bombed, they leave, then they're out in the middle of the woods and the Marines find them.
Okay.
Yep.
And he's like, we're looking for some insurgents called the Wolverines. You ever heard of them? And they're like, you just met them.
Which other dickbags are fucking around in the woods with guns?
With guns,
you know?
Yeah. And then he's like, that's what I was afraid of. And this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is just playing like a Jeffrey Dean Morgan type. And then he has his friend who is like, you gotta respect the military. Speak, be respectful to a Marine. And then they have the Korean American guy who was just also there.
Well, there was a scene where I guess the Eckert brothers are talking about, after the carpet bombs, you know, whoever, the mute guy and one other person, maybe Danny, died. I think the other people are starting to get shaky feet, you know, they might defect. And it's like, that isn't aligned with, you know, the North Koreans, because they're like, how many bodies have you found as they're, you know, rummaging through the rubble or whatever, and they're like, oh, we only found two. And his response to that is, find the others. So that I think they clearly know how many Wolverines there are, and returning to society isn't really an option for them because they'll probably immediately be assassinated in the street. So yeah. Why worry about the defectors? They're just, if they do, they're just choosing to commit suicide.
I mean, the defectors have information on their location, I imagine, and they also need guys with them for numbers. I don't know. What do you want to say?
No.
They don't want their guys to defect or commit suicide. They're all friends.
It's true. Yeah. So they meet with Negan. Sorry, I got Negan from Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, he's Negan from Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking
Dead. He's the comedian from Watchmen. He's in a lot of stuff.
I didn't really follow his story about, you know, why the U.S. military didn't do anything.
So yeah, the U.S. military is operating between the Rockies and the Appalachians, but they've lost control of the coasts, but they're trying to push out, but they don't have any communication because their communications are being jammed by some EMP technology. But the North Koreans have a special, you know, communication that can go through that in this suitcase that they need to get.
Well, it's more like, is it a gas can painted green?
Sure. It's effectively a briefcase they need to find.
Yeah.
So then they go find it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to infiltrate the military headquarters, which is in the police building. Which is
the police station. It's the police station, yeah.
Yeah.
So they, like, and, you know, jump over on the roofs. And it's funny that the women aren't allowed to come on the... They, like, are on the raid, but they're, like, the artillery support.
Yeah, they're proficient with RPGs, so, you know, everyone has their role.
I think, are there any women who... I think there's one North Korean woman who gets killed. But I don't know if we see any other women get killed. I feel like they're very afraid to, like, have any violence towards women, even as they're mowing people down in a lot of this.
Oh, I didn't even think there was one. I think the...
I thought at the checkpoint, one of the person who first yells at them is a Korean lady.
Yeah, I don't think did the chasing,
did
though.
Did she not follow, or she just said, she's like, boys, get them!
She said, boys, get them, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Not that, like, it doesn't matter, but it's just like, it's just funny. They're like, okay, we're going to go infiltrate this thing. You girls stay on the roof. You know, have some rocket launchers, but do not get shot. We don't want you, you know, dirtying yourselves up. Because then who else dies? Like, of the original group, they have Pete who betrays them and dies. They have Danny who dies. They have Greg who dies.
Right? Steve, he, you know, went into the windshield of a Hummer.
Steve, yeah, lost but not forgotten. Yeah. And that's all the ones so far, right? You know, his dad gets executed, obviously, in front of them. That's pretty brutal.
Robert's parents are dead.
Well, that, presumably one of them was a mother. Who knows? It was 2012, I imagine. They were both, it was a heterosexual couple. So then they, like, yeah, they're doing this raid on the police station. They get the box. There's a lot of stuff that happens, right? And then Jeffrey Dean Morgan's buddy. So his Korean buddy is, like, outside on the radio yelling in Korean to try to bait the guys out into the, like, RPG. With the RPGs, they're like, oh, the Wolverines are attacking, but they're outside. And then the Wolverines are infiltrating inside. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's other buddy, his, like, military bro, gets killed, you know, during this infiltration. And then Chris Hemsworth and Cho fight, right?
Yes.
Is that anything else happened between then?
Well, I mean, whenever they infiltrate this building, why is everyone just working, sitting in the dark? I understand really, it's nighttime. It's so dark. Fucking dark. Everyone is just, like, allergic to lights.
Yeah, they're all sort of, because they, like, at some point, the guy, like, the military guy is, like, trying to move across the corridor, and he just kind of, like, walks by, like, real casually, and he's like, haha, yeah, I got this. Like,
it's like a fucking episode of The West Wing. I just couldn't see shit.
The West Wing. Yeah, it's as if they're, like, working, like, past office hours, and it's like the only light on in the building is in their office. There's, like, no, you know, sort of, like, lobby lights on or anything.
Yeah, and they have a fucking 10 lumen light bulb and a desk lamp, and that's it.
Maybe the North Koreans like, we'll give you your lights back after you turn into Wolverines. Until then, only candlelight. So they all do this fighting, and Josh Peck, I feel like this is supposed to be like a thematic thing at some point, but someone's like getting away with the thing and he like goes rogue and runs them down, but like this time it's a good thing, it feels like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so dark, I couldn't see anything.
Okay. So then it ends with Chris Hemsworth fighting Cho. You know, they go back and forth, but eventually he's able to get so he's in his father's office, it turns out.
Yep.
He, like, unlocks a little safe under the desk, gun pops out, and shoots the guy through the desk. And then you see, like, his father's, like, you know, badge next to it. I actually kind of like that. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, he's like, you fucked with the wrong family.
And then he
they got their
little fuck in there. Then he rips off the guy's name off the door, you know, to restore his father's name to, like, his office.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I like that.
Sure.
And then Daryl gets, like, tackled by some Russians.
Yep.
And they stab him. It is, like, three of them. They tackle him, stab him, and then he, like, runs away. And he's not like, huh, that was weird.
It's so weird.
Because they've been shooting people the whole time. Why did they, like, tackle me and then stab me and then just let me run away? There were two guys on top of me. That's wild.
Maybe this is why Daryl was the one with a, you know, mop bucket of soda earlier in the movie. I think he's set up as just a complete fucking idiot. Because as soon as he gets stabbed... he doesn't like tell people to go check. Oh yeah, I definitely got stabbed. Check it out. Look at my wound and just make sure I'm not going to bleed out. You know, no, he just like conceals it. He gets away from the people, no problem, and doesn't bother to report it. And I'm like, well, this is probably going to end poorly.
Yeah, I don't know. He seems kind of dumb. So then they go back to their hideout, right?
Yeah, it's like an apartment, though.
Yeah, and they, and it looks like, you know, they're all sort of getting along. Chris, Chris Hemsworth, Jed, is like talking to his brother. He's like, hey, you know what? You've grown a lot. You've grown into a real leader. The role I am filling right now, it's as if I'm not needed. And then Tony is like, you know what we should do? We should bang, finally. Because, like, it's been, like, almost an hour, you know, into this movie. And, like, we haven't done that. That's all I'm here for. That's the only role I fill is I'm supposed to be your love interest. It's weird. It's a love interest, but he's, like, not interested. You know? It's like, he has no interest in her, really. It's like, he would do it, but, like, he wouldn't go out of his way. You know? Because even now, he's, like, trying to talk to his brother. He's, like, having a beer with his brother, and he's like, oh, where's your beer? And he's like, oh, I gave it to the girl. And he's like, you should go have sex with her. And he's like, fine. Like, we were having a moment, but yeah, I guess I'll go, like, bang Tony. And then he just gets fucking murdered.
Yeah.
He just gets sprayed. Like, it's, like, I remember seeing this the first time. I knew this was happening. But, like, he just dies, like, unceremoniously. And I feel like he's the biggest star in this. It's actually pretty crazy that he just gets completely obliterated, dies, and you never see his face again. It's not like he has, like, dying moments, and he's like, oh my god, you know, you'll go on without me. He just is fucking dead. Gets sprayed.
To be fair, that's how everything in this movie dies, though. This movie fails to appreciate the fact that as soon as somebody's shot, they don't necessarily die. They die from bleeding out. But everyone just gets, no, fucking... domed in the brainstem and just insta gone, just like lights out. Even the fucking deer they're hunting earlier, he's like put one right behind his shoulder and then he pulls the trigger and then you just hear a thud. You don't see the deer fall and he's like, you got him. Yeah. And it's just like, that's not how deer hunting works.
Yeah, everything's like a golden gun in this.
Yes, it's just insta, you fall over and die.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think there's anyone who even like survives for a moment. Like, that we see. I don't even know if there's any, like, blood in this either. Is this a PG-13 movie, somehow?
Oh, I don't know.
It can't be, right? It's so violent. But there's
it's
no
got,
nudity.
It's gotta be worse, yeah.
And they do say fuck once.
PG-13.
Is it really? Oh my god, is that why? They just have people get sprayed but there's no blood? What an insane rating system. Okay, well. So then they're like, how did they track us? And then they're like, wait, Daryl, let me see your back. And they're like, oh, they implanted him with a tracker? Like, what? This is such a weird technology to, like, be here. Like, there were other ways they could have found them. But they just decided that Daryl was implanted with a tracker that they can't get out. Right?
Yeah. But you're reminding me, like, why does this RFID tracker technology work when this EMP, like, ban is in effect?
Well, it's probably apparently also using the suitcase technology or something.
So that leads me to ask, you know, how the Korean Negan friend was, like, on the radio saying things in Korean to beat them out? How did his walkie-talkie work?
No, that was the Korean's walkie-talkie.
Oh, okay. He killed somebody and took their communication
system. They killed
the
guys on the roof. They, like, jumped down on the roof and killed some guys.
Gotcha. Okay, now, yeah, so back to the RFID. Daryl is now just a walking, I don't know, GPS tag.
Yeah. And then, like, Tony gets, like, mad at him. She's like, you got Jed killed. It's like, I mean, not really. Like, Josh Peck got Greg killed earlier, and everyone kind of was fine. She's just, like, outraged. Again, this is a guy, like, if the genders were reversed in this, she would seem like such a weirdo, because, like, they have no relationship, you know? And she's just, like, obsessed with him for some reason. But they're like, no, leave him alone. He's whatever. So then he just decides to stay behind and have a gun and hold off the Russians and die, I guess?
Well, yeah, because they're tracking him.
Right.
So if he's the key to getting found out, then he clearly can't be part of the group anymore.
Yeah,
so
he stay behind and die.
Yeah, he takes, I mean, it's the honorable thing to do. I was proud of him for it. I mean, he takes Josh Hutcherson's best weapon, the saw, he just hangs back and he's going to post up behind a tree and try to kill whoever comes and kills him.
I'm sort of surprised we didn't get to see his last stand or anything.
Yeah, but that would have been good.
I guess that would have been, like, too violent.
It begged the question, like, they were on a back road that wasn't even a two-lane road. It was just like a, you know, I don't know, the only asphalt in the area. And if you're tracking somebody who's on, I don't know, a dirt road at some point, how can you not figure out where the fuck they're going to come out, you know?
Yeah, like, they're going down this road. It's like, it's not like they're, like, in a city where, like, they could go in any direction. It's like, they can only go down the one road.
Yeah, they're in a car. They're traveling 30 miles an hour on a road. How can you not predict where they're
going to
be?
It's like trying to track someone going through a tunnel. It's like, you don't actually need it once you see them go in.
Like, okay, on the other side.
It's like, I don't know, they're coming out somewhere, or they just stay in the woods, I guess. But if at least we know the direction these guys are in, you think they could have just, like, again, they have planes, right? How do they not have, like, aerial support being like, oh, there's, like, a bunch of trucks running around and doing, you know, military drills out in the woods over here? There's, like, kids just playing Call of Duty out here.
They shoot openly in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're worried about creating a gunshot sound.
Yeah, he runs evacuation drills with the. He like pops off with the gun and be like, "Everyone, get ready!" You know.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't make sense. There's just kids dicking around in the woods.
So then the movie just kind of ends. Like, they go to meet up with the Marines at the drop point.
Did they have a helicopter?
Yeah, and he like is leaving. Right, he's like, do you guys want to come with us? And they're like, no, we need to stay and do our teenage insurgency. Because now everyone's just a child. Like, all the adults are gone.
Yeah.
It's just children now. And they're like, no, we'll stay behind. You military guys go. It's like, why do the military guys stay and, like, send, again, the girls aren't allowed to fight. Maybe send the mute Latina back with the thing. She can, you know, ASL, whatever the thing is, tell the guys. And then the two military guys can stay and fight with them. But they're like, no, we'll leave. You kids, though, you keep up the fight or die trying, because that's the philosophy of these guys. And then we hear Josh Peck basically recreating Chris Hemsworth speech from the beginning, and they do like a raid on the football fields, which are like the prison camp.
Yeah.
And they just yell Wolverines a bunch, and like it's successful.
Yeah, I think so.
And they've just like raised an entire insurgency.
Yeah, I mean they're crushing it. They're great.
Yeah. So I think that's the movie.
That's it. Yeah, they don't accomplish much. A lot of them die.
Yeah, because Chris Hemsworth dies, and then Daryl dies, Danny dies, Steve dies, Pete dies, Greg dies.
And the dad dies. Yeah.
And who survives? Josh Peck, Matt, Erica, Latina girl, and Tony?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it just Josh Peck and the three girls? No, that can't be right, is it?
Matt, Erica, Tony, and I think so.
He like planned this all out. He's just like, well.
Yeah,
me
I don't
and
know.
You ladies.
Josh Peck, his character in this sucks. I just hate it.
It's weird because he's like, he looks like this, like, he has this like weird emo haircut, sort of, like this floppy haircut. He's like an arrogant jerk. He's just kind of like whiny at the same time. Like, I don't know what his character's supposed to be.
Yeah, he always has that look on his like face that's just, totally, bruh. Yeah, I just want to punch him. He sucked.
And he's playing like the cool guy, but he's just not cool at all. Especially since he's like next to Chris Hemsworth, who like is cool. So it's like, you know, how is this going to work type of thing?
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's the movie. I think that's everything that happens. Like Chris Hemsworth, this was like right after the first Thor and maybe the Avengers movie came out the same year. So I guess this is like right as his career was about to take off. I recognize some of the other people, but I don't know them that well.
Yeah, because Josh Hutcherson is PETA from
he's
Hunger
a guy.
Games.
And then, yeah, I mean, there's people in this, but just like nothing too much. Again, than the Sing Mang, if you want to write down, from a lot of Hawaii 5-0 alums, I guess. Yeah, so what'd you think of the movie?
There were so many parts of this movie that I just really, I found laughably bad. That being said, like, I don't know, the overall themes of the movie and the messaging of the movie resonates with me.
Yep.
That being said, fucking horrible. Like, it's just so poorly executed.
What do you mean it resonates with you?
Oh, yeah. Like, if somebody actually infiltrated and took over, why wouldn't you just shoot them? And this sort of...
See, I don't think I'd be a good, like, woodland insurgent. I'm, like, slow. I'm big. You know, I don't think I'm, like, running, you know, in and out of town successfully. Like, I think I'm just getting killed the first time I try to run in and out of town.
Well, I definitely wouldn't do it the same way they did it, you know.
No,
but if I'm driving the car and I'm willing to run over one paratrooper, I'm probably willing to run over a group of four paratroopers.
I don't know why they gave up on bombs. I'm surprised they didn't just, like, bomb the checkpoints more often.
It was crazy. It took so much for the other citizens to do literally anything. And all they did was pick up guns. It's almost like they hurt the Wolverines' chances, right? Because as soon as they save that one lady who helped them with a different change of clothes, and then just, like, I don't know, left the prison jumpsuit in on her floor instead of burning it or like putting it in a bag in
the
back.
Why did they just the guys knew they were in the alley? Why didn't they just throw it in the alley?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that lady didn't need to be at risk at all.
Clothes. Why didn't she just take off her jumpsuit? She had clothes on underneath it. It wasn't like she was naked underneath.
It's weird. I didn't know prisoners were layered up. Maybe that's how it is in North Korea.
I mean, I guess it's PG-13, so they weren't gonna have her like be naked underneath, but they could have had her go into like a changing room, but they only just had her change in front of us. And she was just like wearing like, I guess maybe it was just like a sports bra or something, but it's like, I don't know, she could have gone out like that.
Yeah. So anyway, I can't give this one an uncle as much as I feel like I should like this movie. I don't know if the original was better. Like, how is the original rated compared to this one?
I've never seen it.
I mean, it's like culturally significant, I think, right?
Yeah, I feel like the Wolverines thing is at least like known.
Yeah, as, you know, rebelling against somebody who's, you know, occupying your home country. So, I don't know, it's got cultural relevance, but as far as the movie's concerned, I think it's a piece of shit. Maybe the original was better and they did it a disservice. I don't know why they bothered to remake it, just with, like, a different group of people, a different military.
Well, kind of, because then they're also like, but the Russians are still involved. For no reason. Like, I don't think the Russian guy gets to speak either.
No, the Russians are the only reason they die, right?
Yeah, the Russians are the ones who kill them, and they just the ones who embed the tracker. It's like the Russians had like a patent on this, you know, weird stab embed technology, and like the Koreans couldn't get it without bringing over three Russians to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't like it?
Gotta give it a nephew.
Okay, well, I'm gonna give it an uncle. Even though it has 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. And 5 on IMDb. And there's a lot of bad stuff. It's, like, so goofy. Like, the tone of it is, like, so weirdly serious for something that's, like, so goddamn stupid. Like, I don't know. Like, it's so politically confusing as to what they think they're talking about. You know, they're just, like, running around spraying bullets. Like, George Peck is, like, a tough guy. It's just so weird here. I like it. I thought it was funny. I don't know. I watched it before, and I was like, fine, watch it again. I was like, this is really dumb. Like, everything that happens is, like, so goofy. Like, nothing's explained. Nothing makes sense. I don't know why the people in prison. I don't know any of the characters. Like, none of them matter.
And these are reasons that make you like the movie. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's just, like, fun. It's just, like, fun to watch. You're just, like,
is it fun or poorly executed?
Well, it's definitely poorly executed, but you're just watching this. You're like, what is happening here? This
yes.
is so weird.
That doesn't you're make like, me be like, I want to watch this again as soon as I'm done.
How are they like, there's only 20 million North Koreans, and apparently all currently occupying Spokane. It's as if the North Koreans were just like, hey, like, we've used up all our resources here, so we're just moving all of North Korea to Spokane, Washington.
But they're still able to carve out, like, 4 here, 5 there, right? In their guerrilla warfare tactics, yeah. Like, they have no problem just carving out a little small group
of North
Koreans.
They said they also infiltrated the East Coast. And it's like, okay, like, that's, like, way further. Like, what, do they fly over Canada? Or do they, like, go over Europe? Like, how did they get to, like, the East Coast from North Korea? The West Coast at least makes sense.
Yeah, Panama Canal, probably.
They went down and around?
South. Yep, down and around, yep.
went around. yeah, so who knows? I just, like, there were just parts of it I just, like, enjoyed. I don't know. It's, like, hard to say what it was. It's not like I think it was good. It's just that, like, when I watched it, I had some fun. Like, I don't know. I'm a big sucker for movies I just, like, have fun watching. And this one is just, like, you just watch it and you're like, oh, that's so dumb. But, like, then they go do the next thing, and you're like, what is this? This is silly. Don't do that. That's something.
It's crazy because we just did Now You See Me 2, and you were all over Robbie's case for the same, conclusion.
Yeah,
because
that movie wasn't
fun. I had fun watching this stupid
movie.
But that
movie wasn't fun, I think. That movie was just, like, so tedious. This one was just, like, so stupid. This, like, thought, like, that one thought it was funny. This didn't think it was funny. This, like, took itself kind of seriously. It was, like, weirdly not funny, actually. Like, usually in these type of movies you get, like, more jokes. But this, like, has no jokes for some reason.
That being said, I think I laughed more at this movie than all of Ted 2.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ted 2 was bad.
Yeah. I mean, this is laugh out loud awful and implausible and just doesn't make sense. And it's like, who greenlit this? Who fucking edited this? Yeah,
I mean, just all of it was just so goofy. I don't know. It's just like trying to make this movie, but they like clearly like feel bad about it. I don't know. They were trying to make it about China, but then like pussied out. You know, they try to like explain it. Like, it's just so self-serious, you know? And then at the end, they're just like still being insurgents for some reason. Like, it just doesn't have an end either. It just like they continued the fight to liberate Spokane. It's like, okay, what? Bruce Hemsworth just dies as if, like, it was like as if they ran out of time and he's like, oh shit, I gotta get to the Avengers set now. And they're like, okay, fuck, just kill him. We'll use a body double for his body. Like, that's it. He's like, should I have any last words? They're like, we don't know. We don't have time. I gotta go on the plane. Sorry, guys. You know?
Yeah. Don't know.
But so,
yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked it.
So, yeah. Do we have any tanks tidbits?
We still don't have any tanks.
We still tidbits. Don't have any?
Still don't.
How do you not have any?
I guess seven next episode.
Yeah, you had a whole week to think of it. You owe us three then, right?
Do I owe you three?
I think you owe us three. So I think next week we're going to need four tidbits.
Keep counting. Get another piece of paper and make sure your pen's got enough ink.
Oh, come on. Don't be difficult.
So, you got anything else on this movie?
No, so what are we doing next time? Do we know?
Oh, we'll figure it out. I don't know.
We have to figure it out?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you want to get us out?
All right, over and out. Fwa, 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 fwa.